We're floating like butterflies and stinging like bees. Rumble, you badass jet pilots, rumble. Hi, welcome to the Wingman Show. My name is Drew Brown. We hope to inspire, entertain, and learn something so we can all make this world a better place for our children. I'd like to introduce to you somebody who's my friend, my wingman, my main man, and I have a wingman watching my back, Dr. Paul Thompson. Hey, Paul, what's happening?
Oh, not much. Hello, everyone. I'm Paul Thompson, and you just heard from Mr. Drew Brown, Dark Gable. He's the American dream. He's the man, the myth, the legend, the pilot's pilot, the role model's role model, and most importantly, his royal fullness. How are you doing today, Mr. Dark Gable?
I'm doing great, and I'm glad I'm full of knowledge, Paul. I'm glad I'm full of knowledge. Well, we're going to have a great show right now. Check this out. Dr. Paul, do I have a wingman story for you?
Oh, you have a wingman story. Is it a good story? I hope it is.
Yes, but I will wait for the end of the show. This changed my life, and it was in the White House. So that's all I'll give to you right now about this wingman story.
You got to go to the White House. Wow.
Yeah. We'll get to that later. How about this, Dr. Paul? Captain Paul Thompson, 777 around the world. What about that 737 MAX story? A chief technical pilot lied on forms for the software that killed hundreds and hundreds of people, and now they're indicting him for this. Do you realize that we call it in the Navy, didn't we call it fat finger or something like that? When you fudge the numbers or something like that?
Yeah, that fat finger, you know, that it's civilian aviation too.
Oh, really? It's just making something bigger than it's supposed to be.
Well, fat finger is when you mistakenly put in something, input some data. When you're exaggerating, I forgot the phrase, but
how about lying? How about he lied on these reports? All right. Those reports caused hundreds of people to die. Yeah. One of the fearful things, because I've flown for so long, I can't, and I really don't even want to say this, but I'm going to say it, Paul. I can't imagine that yoke all of a sudden going down, me pulling it with all my might, clicking off the autopilot and not knowing what else to F to do. No kidding, other than pull harder. You know, it's actually like a fear to think about what they went through.
Well, you know, a guy's name is Mark Faulkner, and he's charged with a lot of stuff. They say he's really charged with defrauding the government, and defrauding the airlines, defrauding the FAA. And again, it goes back to what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, with the mafia, you know, putting stuff on text and being indicted. Well, you know, he basically said, he admitted, I lied to the government. I lied to the FAA. I think they got it on an email or something like that.
We'll talk about that later, about criminals being stupid. I don't know why even people say stupid criminals. When you're a criminal, you're stupid. So, but what I'm saying is, a lot of us in life sometimes exaggerate numbers, thinking that it looks better, thinking that maybe it feels better. And sometimes those exaggerations really cause real problems. And that's kind of what I got out of that story. And what's happening now in America is that everybody's going on strike, believe it or not. Hollywood's going on strike. All of these, John Deere went on strike. I think Nabisco just stopped going on strike. But there are a lot of companies now going on strike because of bad pay. And nobody wants to work. I see help wanted signs everywhere. Everywhere I go, I see help wanted signs. And I think there's a feeling here. I read also that there's a cash flow. And is that from all the checks that the government gave? And for all you Republicans out there, and I don't mean to single you out, but that's called socialism when the government gives money. So just in case anybody didn't know what socialism was, that's all. I'm not saying good or bad or indifferent. But that's just what it is. The point is, people don't want to work. People are going on strike. And it's the people like us, the public, that are going to be affected by that, Dr. Paul.
Right. Yeah. See, everybody's got a gripe. And I think what's happening is all the employee groups, a lot of employee groups, see, this is a time to strike, to demand different things, because in some ways the country's not on its knees, but it's been kind of knocked wobbly. You got supply chain problems. You had the inability to buy and do stuff. So if there's any time to negotiate, it's like, hey, oh, by the way, this is bothering us. I saw where at different levels, American Airlines, their pilots union, they're going to start informational picketing soon in Miami, Chicago, and Dallas. I guess they're coming up for contract renegotiations. And for the last few years, last few decades, labor hasn't done very, very well, particularly after the PATCO strike in the 80s when President Reagan was in charge. When he fired all the controllers, and right after that, labor started to take not a term for the worse, but unions lost a bit of a little power. Now I think they're kind of reexerting themselves, trying to show, you know, hey, we're here too. So even last night, I was watching the Knicks game, watching the NBA Knicks game. And our old company, FedEx.
Don't tell me the ending, because I record all those games. So
I'll just say, but during the game, commercial came on, and it's for our old company, Federal Express, advertising for people to check out the careers that are available. I'd never seen
how about that? Like that before. And I saw that too.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was sacred to get a job there. Remember?
It was.
That was a hard thing to get a job at FedEx.
Yeah. It's probably still is, depending on what you're trying to get a job with, but it's kind of a market that's opening up now to a lot of people. So
I believe, Dr. Paul, it's Amazon. A lot of these people are going minimum wage plus $7, $8, $9, $10. And so now minimum wage is going to start being $20. Right. Like, you know, we used to be able to get people who would do some yard work or something for who knows what an hour. I don't even want to say it. That's right. Not happening anymore. You don't get any kind of work there's no more bargains. A company that's dealing with this vaccine in a different way, and they're saying it really works, Delta Airlines. Delta Airlines has instituted a $200 a month charge to all those who are not vaccinated to add to their health insurance plans. And now they're up to 90% vaccinated. This vaccination thing, cops are getting fired in Chicago. I think 127 state troopers lost their jobs. The big machine against the people. And it's ridiculous because it's about a vaccine to save lives. It's not even a political good football that they're playing. You know, they're playing with a rock, thinking that they're playing in the NFL.
Right, right, right. I do know a couple people who are unvaccinated and refuse to get vaccinated, and that's their choice. But the Delta plan, I think, United requires everybody to get. They require it. I think Southwest was going to, Southwest Airlines, but they're not. They're delaying the mandate. When the government mandate kicks in, they're going to make their employees do it. So it'd be nice if this thing was gone, but it's not gone. And it's going to be here for a while.
Yeah, it's a shame.
I have a PSA. I have a wingman PSA. The wingman would like everybody to stop taking down Confederate statues. And instead of destroying them, let's put new plaques on them. Here stands a racist piece of shit that thought other humans were actual cash money and had no kindness, no fairness for human lives. These were slave owners. Here stands that piece of shit. This had been a wingman PSA, a wingman PSA.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of agree. I think you shouldn't be tearing stuff down. And keep it up there. Just expand the discussion. I don't think they'll redo the plaques the way you suggested. I don't think that'll happen. I remember some time ago when they were talking about renaming bases, military bases, President Trump joked, you know, you're changing everything, what do you want to do? Change Fort Bragg, you know, name it after Al Sharpton.
Yeah,
I kind of laughed because I thought, you know, Fort Sharpton has actually a pretty good ring to it.
Ding ding.
You shouldn't put out that idea. But even, you know, that statue you're talking about, they want to take down the statue of Thomas Jefferson. That's in the council chambers in New York. It's not everywhere. That's in the city council chambers. But did you know that like 20 years ago, somebody else came up with that? May have been one of your friends. And he said he wanted to take that down and instead put up an image of Malcolm X to replace Thomas Jefferson.
Well, I do. Actually, Malcolm X is one of my heroes because he followed the truth no matter where it took him, and the Muslims killed him for it. So that's a whole nother story. But I do want to tell you something that's Rough Rider like that. You know, we talk about the statues, and you went to a Caribbean festival.
Yes.
Now, when we thought of Caribbean, we're thinking, dan, you know, fun, happy. Well, there's a Caribbean country called Haiti. And right now, they just kidnapped 17 Americans. They want $1 million apiece. And it came to me, do you know what it's like living in Haiti? All you have to do is watch the old Wild Wild West movies when the James gang came to town, when them badass gangs came to town and they were shooting sheriffs, shooting marshals. They didn't give a shit about anybody, any kind of way. Say something, we shoot you. Those people are actually living like that. And I'm not sure what you can do. I don't even know what, you know, we send in the Marines, what they do. I'm just not sure about what you do something like about things like that. Lawless gangs. And it's not just one gang. There are different gangs. But this is a country that's in really, really bad shape. And they're very close to us. No more Africa. We don't have to go to Africa to talk about feeding the poor people. What the hurricanes have done to this country, it's incredible. And you said it last time. I didn't even realize this. You realize those people under the bridge were Haitian. What do you think,
a lot of them are from Haiti and other places. Yeah, again, I've never been over there. I've just flown over there. It's kind of strange that even in the last few years, I get these things in the mail about taking cruises from Norwegian and different cruise lines, and they'll have a stop in Haiti.
Port-au-Prince?
No, not Port-au-Prince. Some other part, I guess maybe to the southeast of the landmass. So it's apparently a vacation. Some parts it's a vacation spot.
I'm sure it used to be like that.
Yeah.
So. I think it's, but what I was going to really ask you is, do you have any answer for that problem? What would you do?
Well, it'd be good to have a stable government. That'd be a good way to start. But you got, you assassinate the president. And they got a bunch of folks on trial from different countries. There's an old maximum, I guess, in the world of dictators. You either take the bribe or you take a bullet. So I don't know much about this guy, Moise. I know nothing about him. But there's a good odds are that, you know, there was a conspiracy from whoever. Don't know if it's the CIA or just local folks. But everything is unstable. So you got to ask, okay, what resources are there? What resources are there that can be plundered? I think there are special metals, different parts of the island.
They have labor.
Yeah, they got labor. And a lot of clothes are made in Haiti. I get stuff that said made in Haiti.
Baseballs are made in Haiti, or were.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yes, they were. You know, thinking about the way they think, the poverty in this world is really amazing. But let's talk about critical thinking, because I think that that's what this comes down to with the vaccine, with a lot of decisions that people make, because I don't think that they really think about critical thinking. And critical thinking, like I think we said before, stupid criminals. Okay, you can't say stupid and criminals and not expect that to go together. Mm-hmm. And the reason is, you know, you and I were raised to do the right thing. But that criminal system scares the shit out of me. I do not want to be a prisoner. Freedom, to me, is the greatest thing that a human being has. And I'm not joking about that. So being locked away, thinking I'm a badass, being told what to do, so I'm a little badass in a little mini concentration camp, it scares me to death. And the critical thinking is what scares me about a lot of the decisions, how people may vote, how people may live, how people think about each other. So there's a real flip-flop in thinking. And if you look at that kind of thinking about poverty, because I got to tell you something, I'm going to be honest with you. When I'm being cheap to myself or cheap and doing something, I actually say to myself about the money that I have, and it embarrasses me. You remember when I told you that when we flew to India, I wore that $20,000 gold Rolex with diamonds, mm-hmm. and I looked at that through the window of a bus into children who were actually handicapped so they could beg better, and women with diseases on their arms with their hands out. It did not go together for me, Paul. It did not work. I didn't wear the watch again. So things like that. So let me tell you what the rich do. You want to hear some crazy stuff. Let's start off. Do you remember the painting that sold for $1.4 million? And as soon as it was sold, it was destroyed. That was a big news item. And everybody thought, how stupid is that? Am I correct?
Yeah, I remember hearing that about that. I called it the Mission Impossible painting. You know, this message will self-destruct in 5 seconds.
That's correct.
And the music plays. And I'm thinking, you know, it sold for $2.2 million, $1.4 million. And now it's up for auction for $16 million.
No. It sold for the first time $1.4 million in 2018. The question is, would you have put money on that sale? Would you have invested in that? Because right now it just sold for $25.4 million.
Now, my question is, does it like have a rebirth, or is it a new self-destruct painting, or is it the same painting?
It's the same destructed painting, and I think something else happened. I'm not sure. I'm not in that society. You know who else is in that society? He is richer than Warren Buffett and the Microsoft man, Bill Gates, put together.
Yeah.
And that's pretty wealthy. So let me tell you the kind of mind games these people play. You know, I don't even want to wear my watch. Well, this is what they think about, I guess. He sent a little emoji to Jeff Bezos, supposedly the richest man in the world, of a silver medal, almost like I'm in second, but I'm coming for you.
Yeah, I think that was obviously to poke fun at him. Well, I mean, that's the thing. It's like guys talking smack on the basketball court. You know, you make a move, you know, you put a good move on him. You know, maybe the other guy can respond. Maybe he can't. He just started talking smack. They're both playing well. They're in the NBA or whatever professional league of football. They're doing okay. So I don't feel sorry for any of the parties. I don't think anybody's got the feelings hurt, and they're probably laughing too.
All the way to the bank. You know, I didn't tell you this, but when I played for New Mexico State, or when I went to walk on for New Mexico State University out of high school, their basketball team, a guy named Super John Williamson played there. He played later for the Nets.
Yeah, anyway, I remember the name.
You remember that? So I want to tell you the greatest trash talk ever. The greatest ever. My man shook me, had me off balance, and whispered to me, "Excuse me," and dunked it. Nobody else heard it but me.
That's not bad.
Like, I got to walk by you in the closet. He went, "Shoo-woo-woo." "Excuse me." Bam. Dr. Paul, you talk about being embarrassed deep in your soul. That was my highlight of my basketball, deep in the soul. Woo!
Yeah, even by New York standards, that's pretty good.
That's pretty good. So, you know, a lot of people would say that Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos things is cultural. You know, I hear that now, cultural, because you know how I think about race. Human race, ding dongs. My son's a spine surgeon. Oh, talking about my son, Dr. Paul, you know, you're going to be coming to a wedding here.
Yes.
And I am on the moon thinking about my son getting married here. And I'm so happy that my wingman is able to come with your beautiful wife, Kim, and enjoy this special day, because very few people are coming. I mean, it's direct blood family and your wingman.
I was told by someone yesterday that getting an invitation to this wedding is harder than getting an invitation to Princess Diana's wedding. It's more exclusive. It's harder. But yeah, we'll be there. Got our clothes picked out. We'll try not to cause too much of a disturbance.
No, well, my beautiful daughter Taryn is here, and my granddaughter Angel is here. My first wife Lorianne is here, and my beautiful wife now that we just celebrated 20 years, Katrina, and you know, Drew's best friends, and then my sisters from New Orleans are coming, and Washington, D.C. So we're going to have a great time. And I'm so glad that you're able to celebrate this with us. You know, when I say I don't believe in God because I now know there's a God, I mean it. There's got to be something. I believe in Shorty big time if he's giving me this gift. So I just wanted to put that in there. But we were talking about cultural. And the reason we got off in this, I was telling you, my son's a board certified spine surgeon. And when he went to medical school, Dr. Paul, he only had one set of books. It didn't matter what your melanin was when he goes into your spine. So there's one race, the human race. So now people are trying to say different cultures, which is correct. I'm bicultural, not biracial, stupid word. Anyway, so on the other cultural side, Kanye West, who Kim Kardashian just named the richest black man in America, which we just showed that he wasn't the richest black man. But number two is not bad, so it doesn't really matter. I wish everybody could start watching us on YouTube because I'm going to show these pictures of what my man was wearing. He wore a prosthetic mask of a white person. He looks like a mannequin, and it's to make sure he's not attracting attention. But guess who he is meeting? Michael Cohen, Donald Trump's lawyer. And so that's what the pictures are going to show you. But let me tell you something. I believe when you're too wealthy and too young and you live in another planet, and I was blessed to grow up with Muhammad Ali, so I've seen a little bit of that planet. And the worst part of that planet is everybody around you says yes, no matter what the hell you say or what you do. That's what got my daddy in trouble because he didn't say yes. But anyway, that's like the Kyrie Irving not taking the vaccine. When there are certain people who get a lot of rappers, a lot of people who, and not just black people, you know, white people, this used to happen to rich, white, young kids used to go crazy. Well, guess what? They're not just rich, white, and young anymore. Now they're rich, black, and young.
Now everybody's crazy.
Well, just think about it. It takes a certain, like a LeBron is a perfect example of somebody who knows how to handle it. What do you think, Dr. Paul?
Yeah, that's unusual. You know, it's crazy. You know, you brought up a lot of stuff here. Oh, by the way, I thought about what you're talking about, fat fingering. We didn't call that when you kind of fudged the numbers. I think it was called gun decking. Yeah. Gun decking in the Navy.
There you go.
Why did that just come to me? It just popped in my head for some reason.
That's why you're a doctor and I'm not, because you're smart.
Well, anyway.
Brilliant.
No, I just remembered something. I think I'm right about it. But, you know, it's you're talking about excess. Everything is excess. There was a report not long ago that most Americans, or a lot of them prior to the COVID payments, couldn't come up with $400 for an emergency. $400 for an emergency. So you put that in context with an exploding painting, or, you know, I mean, when I used to buy firecrackers, those blew up all the time and they expected them to, but I didn't pay $1 million for them.
Remember, we used to go to Chinatown? Did you go to Chinatown?
Oh, yeah. They had the best fireworks.
Do you remember? You remember ash cans and cherry bombs?
Yes. I used to blow up stuff all the time. I blew up trees with the cherry bombs.
Well, my badass friends would put ash cans in toilets in the school and flush them, and they were waterproof.
We never did anything destructive.
But I'm saying that's how powerful they were. Okay. But, you know, few people, that's what you and I have that people cannot buy into, is the way we grew up. Certain little things like that. That's amazing. So while we're talking about all that, I didn't do my homework. I was supposed to watch this thing called Squid Games.
Yeah.
Which Netflix is now, they're very mad at Dave Chappelle. The transgender people are picketing. But that's a whole nother thing. Because he did a special, which I
watched it.
I'm not sure. let's just comment on it later. But anyway, on Netflix, I was supposed to watch this thing called Squid Games. What the hell, Dr. Paul, is Squid Games? Please tell me.
Well, I don't want to ruin it for you. We watched the whole series. It's 9 episodes. Very interesting. And not to ruin it, it's it's kind of like, if you remember, the Hunger Games, but with higher stakes.
Higher than death?
Yeah. It's a life and death kind of thing. And the thing was, it was written in like 2009, and the guy who wrote it couldn't get anyone interested in it. And Netflix just happened to look at it like a couple of years ago, and they're trying to expand their reach to international audiences. And they picked this thing up, and it's a winner. It's
Korean.
It's Korean. It's very interesting. It's intriguing. We would watch one episode a night, a couple times. We did 2 episodes. It's just 9, and it's it gets you involved. It gets you involved in the characters. You know, the good, the bad, the ugly, and it's also related to what you're talking about: Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Kanye West, and Kyrie Irving, big money people. Because the people involved in the games are not big money people. Some are, and some are not. So Actually, you know, Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, they could actually be in the Squid Games. And if you watch it, you'll see what I mean. They could be in it.
Well, I'm going to do my homework, and I'm going to watch it, I hope. There's a very exciting week for me, so I'm not sure what I'm going to do. So I'm not telling you, I'll promise, but I'll try to watch it. But now something really important. We're going to do that Wingman story. And I'll just start off a little bit by saying this man changed the way I thought about everything a long time before I was blessed to meet him. You know, he was a black man who was the 4-star general. He was a black man who was Joint Chief of Staff when people were saying the white man got you down. The white man is in charge of the army. You know, when this man went through it all, he was the Secretary of State. He kept his head above him when he voted a different way when he felt a different way. That's the kind of people I respect, when people are able to change their minds and they're not so egotistical to not think that maybe they now think different. General Colin Powell passed away from COVID, God dang it, for the people who don't wear their masks, who don't give a shit about other people. This man was vaccinated, but I guess he had cancer and it just didn't work out for General Colin Powell. And I brought my family. I was invited to the White House, and I spent time with General Colin Powell, and I brought my family there. And there's a couple of pictures that you can now see if you look at YouTube. Tell me about General Colin Powell, this man that I revere. And this is way before President Barack Obama.
Yeah. He was interesting. He started off as, a national security advisor in the Reagan White House. I don't know if he's a general or a colonel at that point. But a very distinguished guy. He rose to become the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Joint Chiefs of Staff basically is you have a Joint Chief of Staff. You've got a Vice Chief of Staff. Then you have a Chief of Staff of the Army, the Air Force, and Navy, Commandant of the Marine Corps, the head of the National Guard, and now also Space Force. He used to be the Air Force. So he's in charge of all those things. And basically, That's an advisory body. They don't really control troops. They give advice primarily to the commander in chief, and he's appointed by the president. And he held that position for a long time. Very competitive. Never heard anything bad about him. A friend of mine saw him a couple times. He was stationed in D.C. and I think he got to speak to him one time. He's very, you know, very, very nice and engaging. But I guess you missed that kind of personality. Excuse me. What I call kind of a quiet confidence, not having to boast and I'm this, I'm bad and all this other kind of, you know,
that's who,
so, you know, it was basically sports talk, which is part of military culture and it's an important part of military culture, but not all the time. You need a mature person every once in a while. We try to get, you know, star power and whoever can make the most noise, get the most attention, you know, act the most childish, as opposed to just like a, you know, mature adult. An adult in the room, as they say. Apparently, he was that. Something I could recommend. I didn't know him, but I read his book, My American Journey, years ago. Very good book. And I wish I had read that, when I became a military officer, or even for someone not an officer at all. It's good information in there, really good information. I recommend it, My American Journey. You can get it in paperback. It's probably $10 to $12. Very interesting. And realize also he's, like me, a first-generation American. His family comes from Jamaica.
And he comes from Harlem. You come from Harlem. Harlem.
Yeah, he's born in Harlem.
Come from Harlem. We all come from Harlem. We're
born in Harlem. Three people born in Harlem. And he went to City College or whatever. And he wasn't a good student by his own admission. He wasn't good at all. He basically started something. He basically barely got out. And he joked about that. They were glad to see me get out of here. I saw him say that on some big roundtable. They were glad to see me get out of that school. And he just excelled in other things when he got into the Army. Life isn't always a straight line. It may be jinks and curves and breaks. But if you stay strong and true to yourself, have a vision, and move forward, you can do well.
I agree with you totally. What you just said is on the money. You know, when we learn, times of struggle are times of growth proportionally. When I learned, it was because I made a wrong turn. That's when I knew I was going. We said this a long time ago. When you really know how to fly, it's not that you don't make mistakes, but you correct them and know why you corrected them. Thank you once again, Dr. Paul Thompson, my friend. Thank you for your love, your time, and that's something that we won't ever get back. I want to thank all the listeners, too. Thank you so much for doing the show, Dr. Paul. We're jamming.
Well, thank you, Mr. Drew, for inviting me on. Always good to talk to you. And ladies and gentlemen, please remember to like, share, and subscribe this podcast, or ain't the podcast. If you're looking at YouTube, they say smash the like button. Don't smash it. Just press it gently and refer to use as a link to all your friends. You can also look at us on our website, wingmenshow.com, WINGMEN show, SHOW.com, all together, wingmenshow.com. And we hope to see you in the future. Thanks again, Mr. Drew.
Oh, you're welcome. And we're still floating like butterflies and stinging like bees. Rumble, you badass jet pilots, rumble. May there be peace on earth and goodwill towards all men and women.